Welcome to Swiss Info, a roundup of the biggest stories from this week in Switzerland, plus the business and cultural highlights.
What we must do, women, if we want to compel our men to make pieces to abstain from having sex.
How is that to get your attention? Hello and welcome to our program for the week. I'm Justin Henne. That was Domina Dei, a Swiss avant-garde act. We'll be visiting with them later on after this. Opa! Will Europe rescue Greece? Also, two more Guantanamo inmates settle in Switzerland and a very different kind of database. But first, our top story. New developments in Switzerland's ongoing dispute with Libya. The government on March 25th dropped a travel ban on top-level Libyans, including Muammar Gaddafi. Switzerland imposed the Europe-wide restrictions back in autumn, and they apply to over 150 officials. The hope of dropping them? That Libya will ultimately release Max Goldi, a Swiss citizen held in that country since 2008 and currently serving a 4-month prison sentence. Switzerland and the rest of Europe also want Libya to rescind a ban on Europeans from obtaining visas to that country. René Schwok is a political scientist at Geneva University and the author of a book on the Swiss-EU relationship.
The main problem is that we don't have information about what's happening in the heads of the Libyan leaders. So we don't know exactly how they react and why they react and what were the triggers, elements which explain the way they act. Personally, I doubt that Libya will make any concession.
European leaders are meeting to discuss how best to help Greece out of its financial pickle. The heavily indebted country won a major pledge of financial support from the Eurozone and the International Monetary Fund, who are aiming to halt the country's government debt crisis from undermining the euro. The euro continues to fall against the Swiss franc, trading at a record low of around 1.43 francs, something that could have a very negative effect on exports. Economics Minister Doris Leuthard has said it's up to the Swiss National Bank, the central bank, to decide on whether to intervene and to soften the currency. Something else to soften the blow, Swiss firms have received top marks on innovation. An annual comparison by the European Union praised Switzerland for not losing steam during the economic downturn, unlike its neighbors. Joining me from Zurich is our business correspondent, Matthew Allen. Matt, where does Switzerland stand on innovation relative to its European neighbors?
Well, according to the European Innovation Scoreboard that was released recently by the European Union, Switzerland is the best-placed country for innovation in Europe. Last year they were number two, and this year they were number one. And this scoreboard is measured in terms of things you'd expect, such as numbers of patents, amount of research and development expenditure by companies, but it also takes into other factors such as the number of university graduates in the country and the type of broadband access that firms have in the country. So it's a really wide-ranging thing, and Switzerland certainly has jumped up.
The report also praised Switzerland for its ability to ride out these tough economic times. What's behind this?
Well, they specifically mention venture capital, which they say has increased substantially in Switzerland in the last year. They don't give figures, but they say that the amount of money that's been given to firms to get them going and to build them up is on the increase, and that's the main point.
There is a disagreement among Catholic leaders here in Switzerland about whether church officials should establish a database of priests who commit abuse. The head of an abbey in Einsiedeln, a small town in central Switzerland, has made the proposal. A 40-year-old priest from Canton Thurgau was arrested just days ago for sex abuse against minors. But the head of the Swiss Bishops' Conference doesn't think a registry would work. Norbert Brunner says the church as an institution also shouldn't apologize for sex abuse committed by priests. The government of the French-speaking canton of Jura announced on March 24th it was taking in two more Chinese Uyghur prisoners from the Guantanamo Bay detention camp. China isn't happy about it, calling the men terrorists, but Jura authorities aren't too worried. Matthew G. Ratzico is a journalist with the newspaper Le Quotidien Jurassien.
There is a tradition of openness in Jura. There is a culture of openness and of support of people who are, in trouble.
The Swiss Federal Railways will make major improvements on the country's rail lines, but has said no to high-speed rail. Joining us is Robert Brooks. He's a first-class journalist here at swissinfo.ch, and he also holds a first-class rail pass. So, Rob, my first question for you is, when was the first time in your life that you rode a Swiss train?
I guess that must have been 1978, when I first arrived in Switzerland.
I mean, there's a lot of talk that the system has perhaps gotten worse or has gotten less reliable. If we make a comparison to what the system was like and what the trains were like 32 years ago, how do things stack up now?
People complain a lot at the moment about having to stand in trains. But let me tell you, one of my first trips in Switzerland was to Zurich Airport. And I'd never traveled first class in my life before. So I was very proud to go and buy this ticket, jump on the train on a Friday evening, only to find that the train was full in first class. And it took about an hour and a half to get to Zurich, main train station, and you can do it in less than an hour now.
And some people say that the trains have to go even faster, that there needs to be high-speed rail. Now, of course, it's a little bit complicated geographically in Switzerland because the tracks have to wind around mountains and different land formations, so you can't quite get up to the same speed that you could, for example, if you're flying through France or Spain. Do the trains need to be faster here, or what do you think could be done to improve your experience?
I'm quite happy with the system the way it is. If you can shave off another 10-15 minutes on the journey time burn to Zurich, that's fine. But, you know, what is 10 to 15 minutes for someone these days? Aren't we going fast enough? I think people would settle for more comfort and, i.e., more possibilities to sit down rather than go faster.
And I suppose less speed, you have more time to enjoy the beautiful view. And now a little feedback from our readers. They've had a lot to say about a number of subjects, starting off with Libya. Here's Hafiza Suleiman of Switzerland.
I'm ashamed of such Arabic leaders. Being myself Arabic, they do not represent us. In fact, this is an example of their behavior at their countries. No one messes with them. They are allowed to step on all, and if anyone open their mouth, they put them in jail forever, or simply kill them. Gaddafi, instead of focusing on a peaceful country like Switzerland, why don't you divert your attitude to Israel and speak up for what they are doing now in Jerusalem? Shame on Arab leaders.
Charles Smith of Britain took exception to countries with high taxes for wealthy citizens.
If foreign governments did not soak at will those who earn the wealth and create jobs, there would be no taxes to evade. Switzerland should not be cooperating with such regimes, especially Germany, which has bought stolen data in order to chase after so-called tax evaders.
Paul, also of Britain, agrees.
Let it go to a referendum. Either Switzerland will stay neutral on tax evasion, or it will side with despotic governments plundering their people. Or are we to believe governments have a divine blank check to steal all they want from their most productive citizens?
You're listening to Swiss Info, the international news service of the Swiss Broadcasting Corporation, online and around the world in 9 languages at swissinfo.ch. In the 1980s and 90s, Domina Day, an all-female band, was one of the most innovative and visionary electronic acts to come out of Switzerland. But in 1995, Domina Day's 5 members decided enough was enough and went their separate ways. 15 years on, 3 of the original members, Magda Vogel and sisters Juliana and Suzanne Müller, returned to the stage for a one-off performance at the International Women's Music Festival, Wie es ihr gefällt, in Berlin. Andrew Littlejohn caught up with the 3 at a soundcheck to find out how it felt like being together on stage again.
I had to get used to the sound on stage. It's very loud, and also to get used to hear the musicians and the backing tracks and to hear the voice in this really huge... It's really loud.
I haven't been on stage since 15 years. For me, it's like a flash to the past, and I feel younger.
Let's just go back to when you did form as a band. What was the music like in Switzerland, in Zurich, in the 80s, when you were first performing?
We were five women on stage, with a drummer and bass player and we three. There were not a lot of women bands on stage, and the style from our music was special, also in Zurich.
It's like a avant-garde rock or avant-garde pop or experimental pop. We mix all our influences together, and the special thing is the voice of Magda, sure, because she has a classical education in singing, and this mix up with saxophone is very special.
And the electronics, of course, and I think this was also very special in the 80s in Zurich, because we were somehow the avant-garde. And with Domina Dia, I just wanted to express as a woman, and because I'm the writer of the lyrics, so I always take topics which concern me as a woman. And Domina Dia, I just found it sounded well, sounded somehow feministic and interesting and, yeah, a bit visionary.
You split up in 95. Was that because your sound had just come to an end? Had it come to a natural end? What was the reason for going your separate ways?
This happens. I mean, we had been working together for 6-7 years, and I think every woman had a different reason to stop the project.
I don't like to do things too much, too long. So we didn't have any new ideas, I think, and the time was good, and the time to leave was good also.
For me personally, I wanted to make a different kind of music.
After the project Domina Dia, I've started to orientate more in the direction new music. I did then a lot of improvisation and even classical singing. I did some Schönberg singing and had a project with a piano player about concrete poetry, but electronics. That's what I would like to focus on.
I'm not a real Rampensau. I don't really like to stay on stage. So I moved into film music and studio music more. But that we go now with our old material, fresh it up, just for one time, you know? So that's for us like an adventure.
Thanks for that, Andrew. For more music, visit swissmusic.swissinfo.ch. And that's all for me and for us, all of us here in Bern for the week. Thanks so much for joining us. Playing us out is Domina Dei with Sincerely. Until we meet again, I'm Justin Hennig.
Mad and do not worry, all I left in time. Listen to.